When it comes to Father's Day, some things never change. Dads want steak. And there's still time to deliver uncompromising quality and flavor with delicious gifts from Omaha Steaks. Plus, get an extra $35 off with code THANKSDAD when you shop omahasteaks.com today. We know, being your dad means he already has everything he could want. But just picture the look on his face when he sees those extra-aged USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy air-chilled chicken, beefy burgers, and more. With carefully curated gift packages from America's original butcher, it's never been easier to show everyone why you're dad's favorite. And every bite is 100% guaranteed to bring a thrill to the king of the grill. Hurry, there's still time to give dad something incredible for Father's Day. Shop now at omahasteaks.com and get an extra $35 off with code THANKSDAD. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details.
This is Avery After Dark, and I'm your host, Avery Ross. I came across one of the scariest, most bizarre stories. Just trust me, things are about to get really creepy. This is my missing son. It was Friday morning. I started my day nursing a hangover from the night before, drinking my way through a pot of coffee and munching on toaster strudels. I had a morning filled with Zoom meetings and was feeling thankful for the option to keep the camera off because, let's face it, I'm not as young as I used to be and good Lord, does a night of drinking do some damage. Anyway, as I was going into my last meeting before lunch, my phone rang. I silenced it quickly and set it face down so I wouldn't be distracted. It's no good to be off cam and distracted. After the meeting, I forgot all about the call and got up from my desk to make myself some lunch. Just as I sat back at my desk, my phone rang again. When I picked it up, I saw I had 5 missed calls, 2 from my husband Dylan and 3 from a number I didn't recognize. What the heck? I dropped my fork and mashed the answer button. It was the latter that was calling me back. "Hello? Hi, is this Mrs. Harding? Who's this?" I asked. "This is Detective Phillips from the police department." My mind jumped to the missed calls from Dylan. Oh no, did something happen to him? A car accident? A shootout? My heart was beating out of my chest. Words lodged in my throat like a wad of wet bread. I sputtered, then asked, "Is my husband all right?" "What?" the detective asked, obviously confused. "My husband," I said. "Is that what you're calling about?" "Oh, no, ma'am." "Thank goodness," I breathed. "What can I do for you?" "Ma'am, I'm calling because we found your son." Shock prickled through me. "Excuse me?" "Your son, ma'am. We found him. He turned up at the police station last night and we were able to positively identify him this morning." My mind started spinning at the detective's words. He must have the wrong Miss Harding. I don't have a son. I don't have any children at all. Dylan and I never wanted them. We have a nice life, just the two of us and our dog, Gus. Financially, we do well. We can pick up and travel whenever we want. Besides, I just never had that maternal instinct. And there's nothing wrong with that, despite what my mother thinks. "Hello? Ma'am? Did you hear what I said?" The detective's voice jarred me from my thoughts. Yeah, but we need you to come down to the station. Your husband is already on his way." "Dylan was? Why?" "I think you must have the wrong number, Detective Phillips. Is this Alyssa Harding, address 563 Pine Tree Court?" he asked. "Yes, it is, but..." "Phew," the detective said. "Thought I'd really messed up there. You're definitely the Mrs. Harding I'm looking for. Please, come down to the station at 555 Wilson Avenue as soon as possible." Before I could get another word out, the call disconnected. I pulled the phone back from my head and stared at it in disbelief. I was the Mrs. Harding he was looking for? It didn't make any sense. What made less sense was that Dylan was headed to the station too. I logged off work, changed out of my work clothes, and pulled my hair into a messy bun. Gus tap danced around me as I got ready. Then I dropped a treat on the floor so he wouldn't get mad when I left him. Outside, there was a warm breeze, odd for an afternoon in mid-November. Something about it just felt wrong. My hands trembled the whole way to the police station as I navigated my Prius through the leaf-strewn streets. I pulled up outside the low brick building and heard my name the second I stepped out onto the street. I turned. Dylan was rushing towards me, a grin plastered on his face. I almost didn't recognize him. "Alyssa, I tried to call you twice. Why didn't you pick up?" he asked. "I was in meetings all morning," I said, thrown off by his intensity. "What is going on, Dylan? Didn't you talk to the detective?" he asked, grabbing my hand. He pulled me toward the glass entrance to the building with such force I stumbled over the broken concrete a couple times. "Yes, but I don't understand," I said, breathing heavy. "Something was really wrong here." "They found him, Liz," Dylan cried, prying open the door. "They found Logan." Logan. Logan. The word tumbled around in my head like a single item inside a dryer. Logan. They found him. What was going on? I stopped short, yanking my hand from my husband's. This man who looked like my husband anyway, but certainly wasn't acting like him. "Dylan, stop." He stopped walking and blinked at me, confusion clouding his face. "Liz, what's going on? Didn't you hear me? They found Logan. Why are you acting so strange?" I bit down on my tongue, fighting the urge to unleash a series of swear words. I wasn't the one acting strange here. Why couldn't he see that? Who was Logan? Why were we even here? I took a deep, measured breath. "Dylan, I don't know what's going on. I don't know who Logan is and why we should care they found him." My words were like a slap to the face. Dylan recoiled, a look of disgust coming over him. His eyes darkened, and he leaned in close, murmuring to me, hot breath washing over my face, "Please don't do this right now. Just come with me." I wanted to turn around and walk away, but I didn't. I should have. If these past 4 days have taught me anything, it's that following Dylan through that police station was the worst mistake I've ever made in my life. But something inside me told me to go with him. Curiosity, I guess. Wanting answers. The urgency in Dylan's demeanor. "I should have run," I said quietly. We took the elevator up to the second floor and pushed through a set of double doors to a reception area. Dylan approached an officer behind a desk. "Mr. and Mrs. Harding here to see Detective Phillips," he said. The officer's face lit up. "Yes, of course. He's waiting for you. You can head right back into his office." He pointed straight back through a maze of cubicles and Dylan motioned me forward. Dread snaked through me and my legs started to tremble as we walked. Officers in cubicles stopped to stare at us. One was even crying, wiping tears from her cheeks with a wad of tissues. What was with all the dramatics? The office door swung open before we even got there, and a man in his mid-40s with a slight pot belly and a full beard grinned at us. "He's right in here, folks. Come, come. He's been waiting anxiously for you." He sounded so excited, it was almost contagious, until I remembered there was nothing to be excited about. Whatever was going on was seriously messed up. Dylan went first, stepping over the threshold into the small office. I saw his body tense, then relax with a rush of breath. "It's really you," he cried, his voice breaking. "Liz, it's him. After all this time, our son has come home." I stepped timidly into the office. A boy, maybe 6 or 7, sat perched on a chair, his dark curly hair disheveled, and was standing up at odd angles on his head. He clutched a juice box in one hand and a ratty teddy bear in the other. He was pale, but his cheeks were unnaturally rosy, and he looked up at us with the darkest, widest eyes I've ever seen. Seeing him was like a gut punch. Fear coursed through me like an electric shock. This kid, whoever he was, definitely wasn't my son. In fact, I'm pretty sure he was pure evil. The media was waiting for us when we walked out of the police station, crowds of people that hadn't been there when we entered. I walked beside Dylan, my body in a vice grip of cold, hard fear. He grasped the boy's hand in his, a grin plastered on his face, waving at the camera crews and journalists that had somehow been alerted to the boy's return. I was struck dumb. What was wrong with me? This kid wasn't ours, but somehow my husband of 9 years the police department, and the media seemed to think he was. Mrs. Harding, how does it feel to finally have your son back after he went missing 3 years ago? A portly man with a bald patch asked. He leaned in, raising his eyebrows, waiting for an answer. My stomach flip-flopped. I couldn't answer him. What would I say anyway? This isn't our kid, but my husband thinks he is. The police are mistaken? I want a DNA test? Nothing would sound right coming out of my mouth, so I just clamped it shut and shouldered past all the nosy onlookers. Dylan, on the other hand, was happy to be the center of attention. He pushed the boy in front of him, that eerie grin on his face, and said proudly, "This is the happiest day of our lives." A young woman stepped forward then. "Do the police have any leads on where Logan has been all this time?" Dylan shook his head. "Not yet, but we're hopeful they'll figure it out, or that Logan will be able to tell us." The first man turned to me and I whipped towards him with a steely glare before he could get another question out of his mouth. No comment. Was I losing my mind? Did I block out the boy's existence to save some shred of sanity when he went missing? If that was true, why did I feel this sense of dread and fear when I looked at him? Shouldn't I be happy? But no, I was completely out of my mind with confusion and fear. Nothing about it felt right, even as Dylan ushered the boy into his car and turned to me. "We'll meet you at home," he said, breathless. "I can't believe it, Liz." I made a grunting sound and climbed behind the wheel of my Prius. For the second time that day, I considered running. I wouldn't have time to stop at home and pack a bag, or say goodbye to Gus. How would I leave without Gus? Ugh. Whatever was going on, I needed to stay and figure it out. At home, Dylan's car was already in the driveway when I pulled in. He was standing on the front steps with the boy, talking in smooth tones to him. "This is our house, Logan," he said. "You probably don't remember it, but not much has changed." The boy looked back at me as I approached. His dark eyes pinned me to the sidewalk. They were dead inside, and they didn't just stare through me. No, maybe that would have been better. They stared into me, like he could see all the way into my soul, prying open the folds of myself I didn't even know were there, prodding, poking, digging around. Why didn't Dylan see that? Instead, he unlocked the door and pushed it open. The boy hesitated. "May I come in?" he asked, speaking for the first time. His voice was soft and one-toned, lacking any sort of emotion. It sent shivers ripping through me. "Yes, of course," Dylan said. "This is your home." The boy looked up at me again. "May I?" I frowned. Dylan just told him he could. Why was he asking me? "Liz," Dylan hissed, "answer him." Yeah, I guess. The boy nodded and followed Dylan into the house. Gus bounded down the hallway, his nails tip-tapping on the hardwood floors. He stopped short in the kitchen, the golden hairs on his back instantly standing on end. A low growl rumbled in his chest. I knew something wasn't right. Dogs always know. "Hey now, Gus," Dylan scolded. "It's Logan. You remember him, don't you?" Gus started to back away, bumping into chairs and cabinets as he went, not taking his eyes off the boy. When he was about 20 feet away, he turned and ran, disappearing into the back of the house. I raised my eyebrows. "Dylan, don't you think..." "He just needs to warm up to him again," Dylan said crossly. "It's been 3 years." "Sure," I said, shrugging. "Your room is down here at the end of the hall, buddy," Dylan said. "We didn't really touch it after you left, so it might be a little young for you now." The sound that came out of me then caused Dylan to shoot me the dirtiest look. What was he talking about? The only thing at the end of the hall was the guest bedroom that had become a catch-all for boxes and junk we didn't need in the main house. Certainly not a child's bedroom. But when Dylan swung open the door, the breath caught in my throat. Soft beige carpeting, a sturdy wooden bed topped with a navy blue bedspread, sailboat posters on the wall, and a pile of stuffed animals in the corner stared back at me. I blinked my eyes in disbelief. A wet sound gurgled in my throat. Dylan raised his eyebrows at me, then placed a hand on the boy's back. Go on, buddy, get comfortable. Mom and I are going to get started on dinner, Dylan said. The word mom uncoiled something inside of me, like a spool of thread coming undone, unraveling all over the floor in a messy, tangled heap. The boy spun around slowly, then perched timidly on the edge of the bed. As we walked out, the door swung closed behind us. I turned just in time to see a smile spreading across the boy's face. But it wasn't a smile of happiness or humor. It was the most unsettling thing. His lips spread wide, wider than I would have thought possible. But his eyes remained dark and emotionless. I shuddered as Dylan moved down the hall towards the kitchen. Out of earshot, he spun on me. Alyssa, what is going on with you? Are you in shock or something? I honestly didn't know how to answer the question. It was obvious that one of us was cracking up, and at the moment, I didn't know which one of us it was. When we made the decision not to have kids, it wasn't just my decision. Dylan was adamantly against them too. He didn't even like spending too much time around his nieces and nephews. They freaked him out. Now all of a sudden he's dad of the year? I'm fine, I said quietly. I wasn't ready to let on that something was terribly wrong, because it seemed like I was the problem. What happened if I didn't keep up the charade? Would Dylan have me hospitalized? The very idea filled my mouth with a sour metallic taste, because how could I not be the problem? There was a bedroom in our house that I remembered being filled with boxes and random stuff. Not a kid's bedroom. Definitely not that. Wouldn't I remember something like that? Well, you're not acting fine, Dylan snapped. This is all we've wanted for the past 3 years, is it? What are you talking about, Liz? Oh, I can't believe you. Something is wrong with him, I said. I couldn't help it. The words just popped out. I couldn't hold them inside any longer. Dylan's mouth dropped open. Unbelievable. Of course there's something wrong with him. He's been missing for 3 years, and who knows what he went through during that time. How can you be so insensitive? His words stung, bringing heat to my cheeks. He was right, of course. He had to be right. Something was wrong with me. But deep down in the pit of my stomach, denial clung tight. Insistence that it wasn't me. It was him. It was them. Well? I looked up at my husband, the man I called my best friend, the man I barely ever fought with, and saw disgust in his eyes. When I didn't answer, he threw his hands in the air and stormed into the kitchen, rummaging around for something to make. I wandered into the living room and sank into the couch, dropping my head in my hands. There was a stranger in our house, a dark-eyed stranger who my husband insisted was my son. What was I going to do? So who or what is Logan? And why does the husband believe that this is their son? This story blows my mind and really creeps me out. What do you think? Drop your thoughts and theories in the comments. Make sure you're following along wherever you get this podcast. And share Avery After Dark with your friends, family, coworkers. Anyone in your life that loves a little spookiness. Until next episode, I'm Avery Ross, and this is Avery After Dark.